School districts large and small took a hard look at security after last December's mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Many districts made immediate changes in procedures, and many are still considering options. The Eagle Point School District, District 9 in Jackson County, formed a weapons safety committee in addition to beefing up security. Many options are on the table in the committee's discussions, including the possibility of allowing staff members to be armed. Parents across the district will soon get a chance to weigh in. Alan Barber is the Eagle Point School's Human Resources Director and the Weapons Safety Committee facilitator and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange today. Alan, thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Did the discussion pretty much start right after the Sandy Hook shooting?
No, sir. It was I think it was about May of last year. Our school board, we had one of our school board members that brought forth a policy to authorize the arming of teachers or staff members, and the school board, I think, made a very wise decision. They slowed down on that policy, and they asked that our superintendent create a committee that would look into the procedures and policies. I think it said something to the effect of how you would grant authorization of specific school employees to possess firearms. So, you know, that kind of slowed the initial board policy down, and it's actually been a great use of time because our Weapons Safety Committee has started to really focus on student safety as a whole, and it's been a great experience thus far.
Was the feeling among the school board unanimous to kind of move things in this way, or were any members of the school board in favor of an immediate policy?
Well, I can't speak as to what the school members thought because they never took a vote on
okay.
it. But I know they were unanimous in the fact that they wanted some more information before they stepped forward. And that's what this committee is doing, is trying to gather as much information as possible.
Well, there were improvements in security measures at the schools themselves, though. Is that correct?
Most definitely, I believe. I can't speak for other school districts, but I know every year when I was a building principal for several years, and you know, when you start the school year, that's your first thought is, does my staff know what to do in case of any type of emergency or crisis situation? And so every year, schools have reviewed what they do, and as a district, District 9 took a very close look at it this year. We've made several updates, things like security cameras, fencing, single point of entry. I think you've probably heard we have a state-of-the-art security system at Shady Cove School, which is a K-8 school, and we've done a lot of work in that area.
And did the district incur much expense in taking some of these measures?
Well, I can't give an exact dollar amount. I'm sure there was some expense. In my mind, it seems like we have spent between $20,000 and $30,000 this year just updating security cameras and some buzzed front door entries, things like that. The system at Shady Cove would have been quite expensive, but that was a donation from Sheriff Mike Winter, and actually there was a couple of companies that donated on the entire cost of installation. So we've gotten a lot of bang for our buck this year.
So, Alan Barber, is the Weapons Safety Committee a committee of the board, or is it a community committee that includes more than just board members?
That's a great question, and it is a community group. You know, I will tell you that when we first started the committee, a couple of people they had sent emails saying they'd like to be a part of the committee. Some were given a reference by a school board member, and then I asked some administrators, teachers, some involved parents already from around the district, and not at any point did I ever ask someone where they were, what their opinion was on the topic, and I think we were very fortunate to get a diverse, wide range of opinions in the room, and that wide range of opinion is really, really working to the benefit of the committee. It's a very good group of folks.
So there was no screening for philosophy or ideology about the particular set of issues facing the committee?
Absolutely none. And I think if of course, this is my unscientific number here, but I would guess there's six that are on one side of the issue, six that are on the other, and then probably six to eight that are in the middle.
So how big is the committee altogether?
Oh, I don't have it in front of me. It seems like it's 20 to 22 people. I don't think we've had every person there at a meeting yet, but I think we've always had at least 15 or more at the meeting. So.
Right. And so what is the charge then to the Weapons Safety Committee? What is supposed to be the final product of this this period of work?
Well, the initial charge was I'll read it for you. The initial charge was for the superintendent to form a committee to establish processes and procedures to grant authorization of specific school employees to possess certain firearms on school property. And that was a pretty slim focus at that point. Rightly so, a lot of people assume we were just talking about whether or not we would have armed teachers or staff members on campus. The following month, a new school board gave us a second charge, and that second charge was for our committee to discuss current student safety and security measures and how we could improve those security measures. So we have taken those two charges, and myself as a moderator, and I've told the group that I feel like it's my job to make sure everyone's voice is heard and make sure we get as much information on the table as possible before we make any recommendations to the school board. I know that we've had some parents that have spoken very freely about their concerns, and we have already made some changes based on conversations within the committee at all of our schools. So it has been a very productive committee. Our work's not finished yet. Eventually, we will be making a recommendation back to the school board with regard to their initial response. And I can't tell you where that's going to be. I don't know where it's going to end up.
So you said that some changes have already happened. Are we talking about the security changes as a result of the Weapons Committee's work?
I'll give you a good example. Is we had a parent who, every school has a crisis response plan, threat assessment plans, and things like that. And one change that I believe has occurred since Sandy Hook is a lot of school districts have taught teachers, if you will, and students that during a lockdown situation, they lock the doors, shut the shades, and they kind of hide. And, we had a parent who basically said, I don't want my child hiding. I don't want the teacher hiding. I want them defending themselves. And we talked to some security experts, and they said, yes, the right thing is to defend yourself. Obviously, you have to take into consideration the age of the children and things like that. But we have a system called Public Works, which is how we do all of our mandatory trainings for staff members. And they actually have a section on that deals with how to respond to an active shooter or an intruder situation in your building, and we are going to mandate that all of our staff members take that online test once a year. And basically what it does, it makes you think about how you're going to respond, and it's a tough subject to think about. I mean, we want our teachers to be teaching, and historically, schools are safe places to be, and when you start having conversations like this, it doesn't feel like school anymore, but I believe it's probably a necessity in these times.
So how many meetings has the Weapons Safety Committee had thus far?
We've had three meetings, and in our last meeting, we have decided that we are going to hold a public forum. We have not set a date for that, but right now, the committee as a whole is putting together survey questions, trying to set a date. We want the community to be able to come and weigh in and see the work that we've done so far, because it's so hard to pick up what's actually going on just based on little 30-second news clips, and sometimes the news media doesn't always get it correct. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yes, I've heard it.
So we will have a website that actually, I believe, it went live today. Our Weapons Safety Committee has a link on the Eagle Point website, and we're basically putting all the information that we've gathered so far on that website so that when community members do come to the forum, they will hopefully be a little bit more informed. And the survey that we were talking about, we are going to send that home when it's completed to all of our students' families, and we'll make that survey available on the website as well. We want as much input as possible from everyone in this Eagle Point Jackson County School District 9 community.
We're talking to Alan Barber. He's the Eagle Point School District Human Resources Director and the facilitator of the Weapons Safety Committee, which was set up to take a look at the idea of arming members of the school staff, including teachers, potentially. Join us on The Exchange with your thoughts, comments, questions, 800-838-3760, anywhere around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You said how many meetings altogether so far?
Three meetings so far.
Okay. And, the question actually was about the survey and whether it was just going to be a mail survey or whether you'd use online forms like SurveyMonkey, anything like that?
It will definitely be an online survey. However, we want to make it available in a paper form also. It's so tough to reach parents. If you've got teenagers, once they get to high school, you never get anything home from them again.
I do, and I do.
I'm with you. But, as far as the younger students, we can send those home with the younger students. So we're going to make a paper copy available. We just want as much input as possible from as many families as possible.
And so have the questions been all devised? I mean, and you're trying to make this a fairly short philosophical kind of survey, get really into the nitty-gritty of details.
Well, we're in the process right now. It's so difficult to create a survey to you know, that gets unbiased information out. And in an email that I sent to our committee, that I asked the committee members to put forth their questions, and I urged them to be careful how it's worded so as not to elicit a biased response, you know. So we're going to work on that. We're going to craft it. We're going to spend some time to make sure it's a clean survey and we get real information.
And so what's the timeline for survey out, survey back? Is there a particular level of return you're expecting or hoping to get? And then
do
with the stuff?
We do. We were hoping to have the survey completed October 21st or 2nd. And I think we're shooting to have that community forum end of November. And our next weapons safety committee meeting in December. So we're trying to move toward a resolution around the first of the year.
All right. And how, what have the meetings been like? I mean, you obviously have people with divergent interests in the room, and some people who still haven't made up their minds, which is always a good thing. So, and as the facilitator, then you got to make sure that everybody does get heard.
Great question. The meetings, the first meeting was. We gave every single person in the room a chance to speak their mind, speak their opinion, talk about their concerns, and it was really that first meeting. You got to kind of see where people were, and I'll tell you, at the last meeting, we had two individuals that were on opposite sides of the discussion, particularly about arming teachers, and both of these individuals expressed that they understood there was another side to this that they didn't agree with, and then they needed to make sure that they allowed for that other opinion to be present in the resolution. And it was very good to see that on both sides of the issue. And at one point, we asked the committee members how many of them had changed their thoughts on the topic since we began, and there were three or four hands that went up during that time. So, you know, I feel like it's been a very successful forum for that group to speak out. And again, our goal is to get a lot of information on the table and make a very informed decision. I feel like it's working.
You have brought in some training materials, I understand, or at least some things for people to look at, like in videos. And so it sounds like there's a wealth of stuff out there available to consider.
There's certainly a wealth. And we've had several committee members that have brought items forward. You know, we've got some retired law enforcement officials. We've had local Eagle Point police chief and sheriff's deputies present. So we've had a lot of very knowledgeable people in the room. Certainly, I'm not the one bringing the information. I'm just the one coordinating the information.
Right, but I understand there was a training film that you showed recently that could be part of a training for the staff members that
right.
shows how to react in a crisis, which I'm sure had quite a few people on edge just watching it.
That was what I was speaking about earlier. It's through Public Works, which is how we train our staff on all types of mandatory trainings. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about early on is when law enforcement officials speak about school safety and school crisis, they speak in pretty direct language. And when teachers speak about school crisis and concerns, they speak in a little softer language. And this committee, they were warned, I guess, right up front that there would be some pretty intense conversation. And you know, we're talking about our most precious commodity, so we have to have those conversations. The video was about training aspects and what teachers could and could not do. And I think it was a little bit odd for some people to hear that kind of conversation around, you know, what might be happening in their school.
It's interesting to think about the difference in perspectives. The law enforcement people will talk about it in their terms, and then you'll have very different kinds of terms among the school folks.
Right.
So
I was fortunate enough about 2-3 months ago to get to go to an active shooter training that we held. It was held by the Oregon State Troopers. It was in one of our buildings, and it was live fire with a rubber bullet or a soap bullet. And it's pretty interesting to be inside a classroom and see four armed officers come in the door and how quick they have to make those decisions. I do not envy their position. It was eye-opening for sure.
Well, that's where things really get interesting, I think, for the part of the educator, because we're talking about a whole level of training in addition to knowing how to be a teacher potentially looming here.
Right.
How much has been expressed, for example, from the teachers around the district?
Well, as far as possibly having armed teachers in the district?
Yes.
I haven't had a lot of conversation about that. It's, people know that I'm running the committee, and it's funny, I'll either get someone say, no way, I don't ever want that, or I can't wait till I get that, and a parent might say, I'm going to pull my students out if that happens. Then another parent says, we're going to move in if that happens. So it really is split down the middle. I haven't had a lot of teachers say one way or the other to me.
But I can imagine this is a long way from your own personal experience, in the sense of like when you first were training to be an educator way, way back in the – sorry, I didn't mean to add too many ways there, but back in the day. But the concept of having to deal with these sorts of things instead of just, you know, how to get into a student's brain and,
right,
and get information registered there.
It certainly is a lot more than we want to think about. And, you know, my teacher training was many years ago, and it was not a part of that training at all. I assume now it's probably a little bit closer to the center of some of the new teacher trainings, and I know that every school district deals with it on a yearly basis. So everyone has a certain level of understanding and education in that topic now.
And so, Alan Barber, have there been any real surprises in the process thus far? I mean, you're looking at some fairly interesting things, but I'm not sure they're necessarily that unexpected.
No surprises. I think the best thing that's happened is this Weapons Safety Committee has started to really focus on all safety measures in our district. Things like a good example was one-way glass coverings to try to keep people from being able to see into the building. Another thing that our safety committee has come up with is we need to have as many levels of deterrent as possible to slow down the entry of a possible intruder, or especially an armed intruder, you know. And so as a school district, we're looking at adding as many levels of deterrent as possible. And, you know, just I think I have a meeting coming up later this week with a corporate security specialist, and to talk for have them come out and look at our buildings and see what they would initially like to see done differently, you know?
All right, so survey, public forum, and then a recommendation back to the school board by the end of the year, you think?
That's our initial goal. We'll see what happens.
All right, Alan Barber is the Human Resources Director at the Eagle Point School District and the Weapons Safety Committee Facilitator. Alan, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Apologies to Jacob and Gold Hill. Couldn't get your call in because we're too close to the end here. We'll come back in hour number two of the Jefferson Exchange to talk to Joyce Roche about the imposter syndrome, feeling like you really didn't earn your success. Her book is called The Empress Has No Clothes. That's coming up on the Jefferson Exchange after the top of the hour. Thank you.